9:13 here on the Mighty 690. I'm Shay Neal, filling in for James this morning and still trying to get this mic to sit still. That's something that we've been working on for about 3 months, but it's time for another our December episode of Fry Bread Journeys, and Chris and Amy are in studio, and let me tell you, doing a great job of fitting in on National Twins Day.
Yeah, look.
There's the camera. Take a look. These are our ugly Christmas sweater, fry bread sweaters, and they say, what do they say, fry bread power?
Fry bread power.
That's incredible. Right. Incredible.
I feel like a who.
And you, and I mean, you didn't even know it was National Twins Day.
I didn't
Day,
know about
so
the twin
it just
day.
This just worked out perfectly.
But Amy, if you notice up here, Amy noticed that it's the Christmas tree, mm-hmm. and then it's a headdress, and a Christmas tree, and a headdress.
Oh, that's
and then
awesome.
I hadn't even noticed that part. On either side.
That's so cool.
Pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So we're excited to be here. OCO.
Jalito.
That's... I'm Cherokee, she's Choctaw.
There
so,
you go.
Shay, I know you're in a lot of times, you're sitting back here typing mm-hmm. your stuff, when, and we're sorry we're not going to see James today, but we didn't do the intro, but we still want to thank Sten Jotty
yes.
for,
yeah.
he allows us to use Greasy Fry Bread, which is a rap song he did as an opener, and we want to thank our sponsors, which are the Cooperative Credit Union, Smile and Charlie Crane, and our newest sponsor is Cherokee Nation.
Yes, thank Wado. You, thank you. Big, yeah, Wado Egwa.
I taught her that last week, last month. She said, what is egg one? It's big.
Huh.
And it's kind of like the adjective comes after, the descriptive comes after the word. So
yeah.
Wado is thank you. So big thanks.
Cool.
So yeah. Joyce taught Maisie Jane. I was saying egwa, and she taught her a holy egwa, which meant big mouth.
Big mouth,
so
yeah.
Maisie just loved that.
So we've got... our today's birthdays. It wasn't as great as last month because it was Jimi Hendrix's birthday, and she happened to wear a Jimi Hendrix T-shirt.
Which
she did not know.
I did not know, and I just feel like that was just so cool.
But it's still Steven Spielberg, Brad Pitt.
Ooh.
Yeah,
and Brad Pitt's an Okie too. You know,
he's from Shawnee,
yeah.
Oklahoma. Stone Cold Steve Austin and Christina Aguilera. So
that's a pretty good one.
I can't.
I was gonna say that's still a pretty good list.
That's a pretty good list. But also in this day in history, I thought this was interesting because this Nutcracker is a ballet that's performed at Christmas time all the time, and apparently it premiered in 1892 in St. Petersburg, Russia. But it wasn't. People didn't care for it that much, and then in the mid-20th century is when it became popular, especially around Christmas.
That's kind of weird. I have the Tchaikovsky Nutcracker record,
that's
and we listen to it at Christmas time.
Stuff.
I like to listen to the ballet.
And then you've got the other one under here. You saw the one about The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Oh, there we go. I like this. In 1961, the song The Lion Sleeps Tonight became a number one hit. Became a number one hit for the Tokens. Wrong spelling, but as far as I can find out, the word is from
Swahili word.
It is a Swahili word meaning you are a lion.
Yeah.
Oh, that is,
I guess
that
that's
is
what
very
they were singing
cool.
in the background. I don't
Interesting.
Know. So, and then I did
put like that
Christmas
one.
Trivia in here. 81% of Americans use an artificial tree, which is kind of depressing to me. We use a real tree. So the other 19 use, are you guys real trees or artificial trees?
I appreciate a real tree, but I live on a second floor, so I do
okay.
cheat. Yeah.
I grew up in a mobile home, so I always had an artificial tree. It didn't seem like we needed one more thing to add to that. But
I'm
remember having real trees
haven't.
When we were kids. We always had a real tree. I never saw an artificial tree till we moved to our mobile home.
We had both at certain times, but I remember I don't remember either one of my grandparents ever having. I remember they had the aluminum trees.
See, we never had one of those, but I always thought those were pretty
they
interesting.
They had a color wheel thing. Some of them did. I keep thinking one of them did where it would shine, and then it shined on the aluminum and would be different colors
yeah.
and all this. And that's a good Christmas memory, though. So, we're kind of doing a recap. So on December 1st, Friday, they had their annual Christmas parade. And I know you guys talked about it here on KGGF, but it was 80-some entries.
We had over 80 entries, and Katie had 71.
Weren't you one of the people? Were you doing the live broadcast down there?
Yeah, me and Steph. So, yeah,
okay.
it was a great parade. I mean, like you said, just so many people that were there. And then also, I mean, what impresses me about Southeast Kansas and Coffeyville is just the effort that people put into the floats. I mean, it's not just, you know, signing up for a float, but everyone goes next level for it.
Yeah, and I feel bad. I wasn't able to go. This is the first time I've missed the parade in a long time. But I did watch the video and was listening to you guys. And so we're already deciding we're going to have a Frybridge Journeys float next year.
Yes, yes, yes.
And this would be our sweater, of course, and we could wear ribbon skirts. And
absolutely.
I don't know what. I'm not going to sit there and make up a bunch of fry bread and throw it out to the crowd. But
And Icy Bear can have her own
Bear
float this
and
year.
Smiling Charlie has impersonated. He's done his Omar Knedlik. The inventor of the ICs, and we've had him in the parade.
Yeah,
too.
So the first year that him and I, Omar and Icy Bear both were in it the first year together,
and
I'm not going to be a driver again.
No, you can't. If we're
it
gonna...
is a is I gotta give a big shout out to people who drive in parades.
Yeah.
I was scared. Little kids were falling off the side, and like and running around.
I'm so glad you said that because I noticed that.
And I'm in Kenna's big truck, and I'm like, I was going so slow, so there was never any danger at all. But I was just like on edge, like I mean, gripping the steering wheel, and little kids were everywhere. That's like some combat driving.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's pretty good. Pretty good. I did have down on December 5th, Cherokee Nation, I told Amy about this, they hosted the celebration, a new Barbie was issued, it's called the Inspiring Women Series, and the Wilma Mankiller Barbie. And I don't know, do you know Wilma Mankiller was the first female principal chief for the Cherokee Nation, and she just was outstanding as far as working on social issues, and she had worked for Cherokee Nation, of course, before.
Yeah, before she became chief, she was helping towns get water that didn't have it yet. You know, you wouldn't think in her lifetime there were towns in Oklahoma, whole towns that didn't have water.
There's
and there were.
Towns that
there are still, yes.
Are in need of getting fresh and clean drinking water and things like that. But she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1998, and she passed away in 2010. But she was just well known. And there's a Wilma Mankiller quarter that came out, I think it was last year, the Mint. And so she's very well thought of. But there was a lot of discussion about the Barbie because, I don't know if you've seen it, it has a tear dress on, which is, it's a beautiful dress, but it was, I don't know exactly what everybody was so worked up about. I mean, the family endorsed it. I think if her family was okay with it.
Mm-hmm. I thought they got the eyes pretty good. I thought she looked like a young Wilma Mankiller made into a Barbie.
Well, but, and you know, we look at a Barbie, and they all look Barbies. Yes, exactly. That's a good word, because it wasn't going to look exactly like it, but it was going to be Barbie-fied. But it did, to me, it resembled, or it was something, it wasn't an...
Well, that's what I thought. Like I said, I thought they took her in her younger years and turned her into a Barbie. So if there's an app or a filter, it was like they used that to make her the Barbie, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they did a good job. Yeah. And they are so sold out everywhere. And they're on eBay for like $100-something more than what you could buy them for. And you can't even order one at Target right now. So
yeah.
I am...
Very popular, and it's going to be a collector's item.
Hey, if you have one for sale, though, call Shay on Open Line and tell him. And
now, it has to be an actual, authentic Mattel
Barbie. In the box,
Wilma, don't take one of those doll you found and just say, okay, look. I could see people doing that. But, I mean, I just think it's a neat... So, obviously, it's going to be a series, this Inspiring Women, and I'm kind of curious to see who the next one is going to be. I don't know.
Maybe they'll make a Rosa Parks doll. She is pretty
inspiring.
Oh, that would
be inspiring. That would be a very good person to
do. Eleanor Roosevelt was pretty inspiring.
Eleanor Roosevelt. Man, you're coming up with ideas now.
I know. We need to make Barbies.
they need to hire you for this. We had on December 8th, I thought this was pretty cool. A lot of the groups around town, Salvation Army, they just finished with a toy drop and all that kind of stuff. But Dora Smith Petskowski, who is the District 12 tribal counselor, and her district comes up, it's most of Nowata County except for South Coffeyville, and that is District 11. She wrote a grant to the Marines for their Toys for Tots deal, and they wanted to provide a book and a toy for every child enrolled in school in her district, pre-K through 6. And she went ahead and wanted to include South Coffeyville Schools and Oklahoma Union, even though that's not in her district, which is wonderful.
Yes.
And so our NAPI president, Bill Davis, and Harry Howard, who's down there, they went to go help. I mean, they brought in semis. It was pallets with boxes. And it took an army.
I have to say, the pictures I saw looked like it was a lot of hard work. And a lot of hard work on Bill and Harry's part, too.
And there's some other things. We've been talking about how hard, and people do, they come together, and there were kids. Students came in there. I wasn't able to be down there that day, but I went down later. We went down there and they were unwrapping the pallets, and they had, it was really organized. They had, pre-K through first grade, and it was boys' things, girls' things, although I did have a question because it said girls on one, and it was science kits for growing rocks, like growing the crystals. And I was like, this could be a boy thing. But I thought it was cool that they thought it was girls. But everybody got it. We brought some up here, so big, we call it Gadoogie. Gadoogie is a Cherokee word meaning working together. And to me, it's for the greater good. And it really was amazing how everybody came together. And so Wado to Dora and her crew, she did an amazing job. We can't thank them enough. I know the schools were very thankful for this.
Yeah, and especially thank you for including South Coffeyville and Oklahoma Union. As a mother of students at South Coffeyville, I think they're kind of in a little dead zone a little bit on different things like that. So we really, and I know NAPI does, Cherokee Nation does stuff for them, but we really appreciate everything. We appreciate them getting included, especially at holiday time.
Oh,
that's very nice.
Oh, yeah. And that kind of segues into, we were supposed to have a guest today, Wendy Lansdowne, who is the youth lead, one of the leaders for the youth culture class at Native American Fellowship. And they had a family thing come up too. She wasn't able to be here, but luckily for you and our listening audience, Amy has a child that's in that program, and I am down there at NAPI, and so I've provided some resources for some of the things they do. But what kind of segues into that is we had our potluck on Thursday night.
We did. That was a lot of fun.
We had some of the, we had a few of the extra toys that Dora gave us, and so our youth kids all got a toy also, which was really nice. So I kind of was talking about the stuff that they do for the class. So it's Wendy Lansdowne and Tiffany Smith and Joyce Jones.
And they teach them, they'll have a language segment.
They do that for the first 20 minutes of the class. It's like an hour and a half.
It's kind of broke up that, like in segments, like they'll do the language for a while, but then it's not all language class. So they move around and they do crafts. They go do things outside. They learn games and they learn the Cherokee language, which I just love. Excuse me.
So there's anywhere, I think, from a couple of weeks ago, they only had everybody was sick. There's been a little flu bug going around. So they only had a couple of kids, but then sometimes they've had 15. It just depends. What
had
I like
a big
was
turnout. Right.
And Bill recorded it, had it on the Native American side, and it was the two kids, and they were rolling dice. Just had two dice, and they'd roll them, they'd add up, and then they would say the Cherokee word for the number added.
Oh, that's cool.
They're learning. They're learning days of the week. They're learning months of the year, numbers, and
singing. They sing "We Wish You a Merry Christmas"
in
Cherokee. They've done "Amazing Grace" in the past, but I've gone in there before, and they've been listening to a tape or a CD or whatever, and they're like, "We Are Family" is playing in Cherokee, which was very cool.
Like Sister Sledge, "We Are Family." Okay.
Yeah, Gloria had it, so I don't know if it's still there or
that's
not,
cool.
But it was very. Like, hey, this is pretty cool. But it's important. That's why I was kind of telling, you don't realize that at one point in time, right where we're standing and right across the border, people weren't allowed to play games and teach their children their own language, and the children weren't allowed to learn. So it's very much an honor to me that Maisie Jane is getting to learn an ancient and sacred language that, needs to be preserved. And she found my Choctaw language dictionary, so she's been learning a few Choctaw words. I know, I was finally happy she tried to do that, but we rely a lot on Donetta on the YouTube, on Cherokee Word of the Week.
You want to get Donetta on CherokeeNation.org, and they have a Word of the Week, and this gal, Donetta, is on there, and she will say the word. She says it slowly, and they show it on the screen how you would pronounce it and tells what it means. And my husband,
very
says,
helpful.
He goes, I don't personally know Donetta, but she does an awesome job. So shout out to Donetta on Cherokee Nation.
I don't personally know her either, but it's kind of like you guys, you hear them or watch
like
them.
Yeah,
you feel like you know them. And she's been helping me out there.
Last year, Wendy and Tiffany were assistants, and Joyce, and they the gal who was leading decided she was going to step down. And I think there was maybe some concern, but there really hasn't been. It has been absolutely wonderful.
It has been a lot
We've done
of
some,
good for
they
them.
They did a pumpkin painting party. We did. Bill has been great. He will take him when the weather was nice and they had a fire outside, and he's taught him some dancing and some prayers, and they did that.
I forgot the prayer. Yeah,
they did the prayer. And then just talking to him about things, and then, oh, I had, you know, working for the school district and having my own, that Indian education after school program. So there were a lot of crafts. We did the pine cone turkeys. You were there that night.
I had fun. I really liked the pine cone turkeys. mine's still sitting on my kitchen table, so I can show everybody.
It was just something to do. And then they cooked s'mores and had hot dogs. We've had pizza parties. Food was always the big, which I brought food. And so on the way here, I'm stepping back. But on the way here, I'm driving over and I'm listening to KHJF. And Shay and Chris are talking about a little bit about what happened Saturday night on the radio drama, as far as that, and we'll talk about that.
By the way.
But I think you said, you know, hey, generally that, or Chris said, generally when they show up, it means there's some kind of food. Uh-huh. And you said, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Well, I brought sugar. So
that'll be great.
You're going to have energy here after a while. But anyway, we invite anybody. They're not going to start up until January 8th because we're through with kids' classes until then because of Christmas break. It's 5 to 6:30 at the Naffy Building, which is at 215 Oklahoma Street in South Coffeyville. And it's in the East Building, which is just east of the main building. But it's a really good opportunity. You don't have to be Cherokee. I mean, you can be other tribes. And I don't know that they're, you have to even be Native if you want to come down there and check it out, but that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's trying to preserve our Native culture and things, but anyway, and then Saturday. So they were talking this earlier on the radio. Saturday, December 16th, James Copeland did an awesome job directing. He had come up with this idea. They did a Reader's Theater at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. I was lucky enough to be in the Armis Brooks episode. I got to play dual roles. I was the Principal Conklin's wife, Mrs. Conklin, and I was Minerva the cat. And
I was going to say, it was very authentic.
You're very actually good at being a cat.
Compliments on my cat, which were stupid, I thought. But it was hard in a way because it said on the script, the cat was sarcastic, and I go, meow, you know, came up with stuff. It was fun. It was just really fun, and we used to have community theater around here, and I've done a few productions, and I directed a couple, but it was a lot of people that were in community theater. Daryl and Ned Harbaugh, Tim Key, Wayne Beischlein,
Haley.
Pete Walterscheid, Derek and Alice Morris, Dylan Oder, Wyatt Starnes, Lois Hendricks. That pretty much covers everybody that was in both of the productions. And it was just a hoot. And then Chris, KGGF's Chris, he came and played the piano and did the little segues in from the scenes. And then he sang later on. They also had Haley Bagwell, Joe Brooks, that St. Paul's Choir.
Yeah.
There was some singing between. And there was a pretty good sized crowd there.
Yeah.
So my
overall takeaway, I was planning on being there in person, but I was dealing with a little bit of a cough on Saturday, and we're close enough to the holidays that I don't want to worry about getting people sick this close to to the holidays. But I listened to it on the radio, and I think that was just honestly almost a better experience because, I mean, all the acting was just incredible. I mean, it was just amazing just laying there on my couch, just hearing how invested everybody was in their part and in the overall production. And like you said, the music was great, and I mean, it's just the fact that you kind of break it all down and you realize that it's just a bunch of community members that kind of spontaneously came together for this. And
we probably had maybe four rehearsals that we just kind of, and it's a reading. I mean, but James asked us to try to. So the Miss Brooks episode was from 1949, and the Gunsmoke was from 52. So you're right there, you know, segueing from one to the other. And I came dressed, and a lot of us came dressed looking 40-ish, 50-ish, somewhere in there. And it was just a hoot. I mean, and it all appeals to your theatrical, you know, the background and everything. That we had so much fun. But after, I didn't have to do anything in Gunsmoke. Liz Allen, I didn't even mention Liz. She was Miss Brooks. She did a wonderful job. Annette and Liz and Daryl and I were sitting in the audience, or Daryl had to be in the Gunsmoke episode. And I took the opportunity, I just shut my eyes. I was watching, but it is, like you said, shutting your eyes and just listening to it like it was on the radio, and it was it makes it different. And so now they recorded it, and it'll be on again 8 o'clock on Christmas morning.
That's right.
There you go. So if you missed it, you can tune in again.
I did have a question. I saw a camera, so I don't know who was filming.
I don't know if the James was filming.
Okay. Is it going to be put on Facebook or something later? Because I had people message me, Chris is in, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not positive on that.
I'm hoping, because some people said they wanted to come and watch it, but I think we didn't have any horrible mess ups or anything.
Right. I know that even if for some reason that the video that was recorded can't make it up for like the stream portion, that is something that we will do in the future. But absolutely, like you said, it was recorded at 8 a.m. on Christmas Day. It will be re-aired here on KGGF. So if you missed it, you have that opportunity. And even if you didn't miss it, I mean, I know I've already talked to a couple people that want to hear it again. So
we were talking about. So I don't know if we're going to go to a commercial here because we're at 45 minutes, but I'm going to give one little piece of Christmas trivia. Everybody thinks, don't even look at the page, guys. What do you think is the most recorded Christmas song of all time?
I already looked.
Oh.
I don't even know where to guess.
But I'll tell you what my guess was. My guess was like White Christmas.
White Christmas
or
was the guess.
Have Yourself a Merry Little
not
Christmas.
Not the most recorded song. Silent Night is the most recorded. But
I don't like Silent Night that much.
White Christmas by Bing Crosby is the best-selling Christmas single of all time on the Guinness Book of World Records.
That makes sense.
So that makes a lot of sense, but I just thought, I've heard tons of different versions of White Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't think about that.
Right.
I've been hearing, somehow our radio's been on the Christmas music a lot. I think that's Nick's fault. But I've been hearing a lot of different Have Yourselves a Merry Little Christmas. That's my favorite and Christmas
Haley
song.
Haley Bagwell sang that at the... She did a good job.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Did a very good job.
So you had a lot of naturals on this radio show between Chris and Haley and like Daryl and Annette. I mean, all of them, they just seem like they're very natural at all that stuff. I didn't know a lot of the other people that were on there, but
Pete
are all.
And Tim Key, his voice. I had somebody tell me the best part. Well, my husband listened to it and he said the best part, and he wasn't putting anybody down. Please understand this. But for him, what he enjoyed was there were two commercials we did. Lois Hendricks and Tim Key did one for Coffeeville Coffee, and it was a hoot. And part of it you had to really watch because Tim, his expressions. And the other one was for All Smiles Dental in Ooligah, which is Addie Steed, and that is Liz Allen's daughter that runs the place. And Daryl Harbaugh and I did it, and we had so much. It's kind of corny, but it was so much fun. He said he really enjoyed those commercials. So, anyways, if you want to head to a commercial,
obviously have much more going on, but we are going to hit one of our sponsored breaks here. We'll be back in 3 minutes and put a bow on the December episode of Frybread Journeys. It's the Mighty 690 KGGF. Continuing our December episode of Frybread Journeys here on the Mighty 690. I'm Shane Neal, filling in for James here this morning, and we're continuing our conversation with Chris Crane and Amy Dollar, and still plenty more to get into here on this episode.
Yeah, Amy, start out about what you found.
So, on Disney Plus and Hulu, there will be a new series that'll come out January 10th, and I think it has like 5 or 6 episodes. It's called Echo. So, it's the lead character's Maya. She is a Choctaw, and the series will highlight her Choctaw history, culture, and legends, and her story. That is all these Marvel comic or these comic people.
Yeah.
So she started out on a series called Hawkeye. And Hawkeye, I think, came from something with the guy with the bow and arrow. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's a Marvel guy.
Yes, there you go, Marvel.
I do watch some of those.
So Hawkeye, she starts out on the series Hawkeye. And so I watched it. It was pretty good. But then she'll leave the big city and she'll travel back to Oklahoma and connect with her native roots, and she'll be in a rural town in Oklahoma in the series Echo.
So is she a superhero?
I think so.
Oh.
So what I learned on watching Hawkeye is superheroes can be of different abilities. So like he used hearing aids, and then Maya, she's got an artificial foot and
like
she's
disabilities.
Deaf.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and she's deaf, but she's still like a superhero. So she can still kick butt with her artificial foot. And so it's
wow.
I'm learning that superheroes are not these big giant muscular perfect things. They are of any kind. So that was, I think I might watch some more Marvel stuff, but that one was very cool. So I'm very excited to watch Echo, and it's on, you know, like I said, Disney Plus and Hulu, and I'm really excited about this part, Chris.
I know, and I'm gonna kind of give you a little back. I was actually talking to John Leonard about it. So we have some really exciting news that we want to share. It's not only affects Native American Fellowship or Cherokee citizens or anything, but it's going to affect everybody living in Coffeyville. So I don't know how many months ago it was, Amy and her role as a tourism director. So for Visit Coffeyville and Tourism, she did all this research, and it was a lot of research.
Yeah, because when Bill brought these up to me, I had never even seen them before.
Okay, Bill said something about
a solar-powered picnic table charging station. So yes, I want to make sure he gets his credit.
Bill did, and then she started doing all this work and found out that Northeastern State Campus in Tahlequah has several of these there. She found the company that manufactures them. She started getting prices, finding out three different companies.
And this one, and just, you know, worked with Oklahoma too already, and so it was very, they worked out, it so worked
you,
out.
But you
so,
put the whole proposal.
Yes.
It was presented to Chief Hoskin, and it's been many months ago. Right before the election, so he's busy. And he has a lot of things going on. This man is a busy man.
Very busy.
And we are so grateful for any time that we can get you came down, and what I was telling, I appreciate it. She wasn't overly pushy on this. She was like, hey, anybody, don't forget about this. That was basically it. And so Bill and I got to talking.
Revisit the whole thing. And
Bill, we talked, and we got in touch with Chief, and he was on board with this. And he did some, you know, talking. The tribal council had to approve a lot of these things. But as it is, we're going to get three of these solar charging tables. One will be at the Native American Fellowship in South Coffeyville on our property. But and two will be coming
Yes, we'll
here.
Be here in Coffeyville. We will have one starting out. There will be two at the downtown plaza. There'll be one on the east side of the chamber office on the plaza, and then there'll be another one across on the south side. But that one will be temporary. That one on the south side is to be moved to the UP Park eventually. So we will have one of those tables at the UP Park, and we'll have one downtown Coffeyville. So it will be great.
If Cherokee, they're going to get the concrete poured over there. It has to be on a certain diameter pad and thickness. Mm-hmm. And I know we've given those dimensions to Denise York and the UP Reawakening Group and everything. And if they get their pad poured, and then we get these in, then we can put the one right there. That was one of the things. So you're going to have them two areas in downtown Coffeyville. Now, these things have two wireless pads you can just set. It's all solar powered.
You can plug in and still be getting your vitamin D at the same time.
That's right. And the very attractive looking, there's umbrellas, and they'll have the Cherokee Nation seal on them.
Yes.
And I think they store it, and then they light up at night. And it's all recycled, and there's only three benches around it because there's room to pull a wheelchair up.
Yeah, so they're all ADA accessible, and then they'll be great to, you know, everybody wants to go outside, and nobody wants to leave their precious phone. That's my Lord of the Rings reference there. You're precious.
It's something big for the town.
It will be great. Yes, it will be. It'll look nice. It'll be a great enhancement attraction, our bikes. You know, it's just say, you know, and I know we're going to be the first ones in Southeast Kansas, but we may, I'm not 100%, but I'm going to keep looking because I like to be the
cutting edge.
Yes.
Here.
Okay. We might be the first people in Kansas to get these tables.
I think that if things work out well, that there's a possibility that Cherokee Nation would want to put these at other community buildings. And I'm hoping, I think that it's just a win-win for everybody. That, you know, you think about stuff that happens. We have the movie nights out here. We have the Brew Fest that happens out here.
And Dalton Days.
I honestly, this was my first year to go to Brew Fest. I'm going to put a plug-in on that, and I worked at it, and I really would have been nice if we'd had a charging station right there because my phone got low, and it would have been pretty cool.
That would have probably been the hottest, hottest table there.
It probably would have been, you know, but it was neat. So,
and it can be an expanding, ongoing project for tourism as well, that we can put them in different places in Coffeyville. So I'm very honored that it worked out with Cherokee Nation, that they gifted us these tables, and I'm very excited on so many levels, on a personal level and on the tourism level. It is very cool. Yeah. I know I use that word a lot when I describe it, but sometimes you just can't say anything else but cool.
Well, it does. So it's a sense of accomplishment because you did work hard on getting this done, so I think that's what's always kind of nice. Guys, did you get your candy?
I did.
Okay.
I'm ready to try this.
Well, drive in. Chris and Shay were talking about hopefully there would be some food involved, and I am generally pretty good about bringing it. So I'm not going to lie. I've made this fudge before. It's a 5-minute microwave fudge. Wow. I will tell you that it's a little crumbly. Go ahead and eat some. Tell me if it's okay. Sugar, how can we go wrong? Shay needed a sugar rush.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get his banana this morning. And it has a lot more nuts in it. I ended up just dumping more in there. But John Leonard said it was good and he likes nuts. The other thing is like a sweet salty, and I've never made this before, but I saw a recipe, and it is little butter pretzels, and I made a kind of a caramel sauce. I melted a stick and a half of butter and added like 2.5 cups of brown sugar and some corn syrup and got it boiling, and a little vanilla and a tad baking soda because it makes it kind of foamy, and really mix it in, cover the pretzels. It can be kind of messy after you cover them. I put them on baking sheets, and I had to use, because I used 2 bags, and baked them at 200 for 45 minutes, and then I mixed 2 bags of toffee chips.
You cannot tell that fudge was made in the microwave.
Nope.
That is insane.
No, you cannot.
And the other stuff, it's like a crunchy, but it's got the salt from the pretzel, and then it's got this toffee, and I've sprinkled pecans on it too. And so
I'm not the baker that my sister is, but I'm just here absolutely starstruck that it's so, like, solid. Like, it's not, like, you know, it's not,
honestly,
it's
my
not
mom
like it's
gave
underdone, but, like, when you bite into it, like, it melts.
It's just like fudge.
It's incredible.
My mom gave me the recipe, and it's literally, it was the box of powdered sugar. Did you like it, Chris?
So good.
Yeah, that's what we wanted. Did you like the toffee stuff?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Well, good. Then I will make sure, and that's on my Christmas baking list for next year. But I mixed it all up in a big aluminum disposable pan because I threw the pan away. It was really a mess afterwards. But, yeah, the fudge is easy enough. It was like powdered sugar and some cocoa, and then you put a little bit of milk, and you cut up some butter, and you put it in a microwave bowl, and don't mix it. Mm-hmm. Put it in the microwave until the butter just starts melting, and you pull it out and just start beating it real well. And I mean, it only took like 3 or 4 minutes in the microwave, and then I added a little bit of vanilla and the nuts, and then I poured it into a pan. That was it. That was probably the easiest fudge I've ever made, and it's good.
It is good.
My mom told me that I could have made it, you can make it a little even smoother. I don't think it was very it didn't look grainy to me, and I don't know. But
no.
After you put the cocoa and the powdered sugar, sift it again so that, you know, to make it even finer, you get any lumps out. But
right.
I was just beating the crap out of it.
I think it was a good balance of, like, the fudge was soft and then the nuts gave a crunch.
Yes, and I like all the nuts in there. I don't like when you get barely any nuts in your fudge.
That's really kind of why I felt, okay, I can dump the nuts
in there. You did a good job.
There we go.
I'm never going to have to mess with the softball stage again I am going to get this recipe and make a good fudge.
I'll post the recipe on our Facebook page, and I'll post the recipe for this. I call it like toffee pretzels, I guess is what I'm calling it.
I like this.
And while you guys are enjoying that, I also found another bit of trivia. This one floored me. So in Japan, KFC is a big deal, Kentucky Fried Chicken. And I found out that in the early 70s, the manager of the very first KFC franchise in Japan decided at Christmas he would market a fried chicken party bucket. This is in the 70s, folks. And it would be an alternative to Christmas dinner. And I think it's funny. His slogan was, I don't know what, I can't speak Japanese, but apparently it translated to Kentucky is Christmas, which is okay. And it went crazy. And this single day amount, Christmas Eve in Japan, amounts to 1/3 of the total annual sales for KFC.
Not just in Japan, like globally?
No, like globally.
Wow.
Now,
No, saying that's a lot of chicken.
That's a lot of chicken.
So I mean, I think about that. I thought, okay, so he did this and it went kind of crazy. So the next year he was like, hey, let's make sure I got plenty of chicken around here to do this. And then, how much chicken is it though? That's what I couldn't find out how much exactly. How Man. They? I think that's pretty amazing.
That is incredible.
Amazing. But going on to upcoming events. I found out that the public library is having a ornament crafting workshop on December 20th, and it's very limited. I don't know if it's full, but you might call the library and see if you can sign up. And the last two nights of the Candlelight Tours at Brown Mansion are December 22nd and 23rd. You purchase the tickets at the Dalton Museum.
Or online at coffeevillehistory.com.
Thank you very much. I would say they used to go to the chamber, and I know you can't do that anymore.
No, and I think that the Dalton Defenders Museum, it's open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. So this week, if you want to grab your tickets in person, you can run on in there.
They're not open on Saturday?
They are.
But just
I guess.
Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I guess so. I forgot. They're open on Saturday. I was thinking the last, so the last day is Saturday. So I was thinking, but yeah, you know,
they
make
have
sure
like 5:30. What are the times?
How you had to ask me that.
I know that the 5:30 shows
5:30,
get sold out very
7:30,
fast.
7:30 and... So, yes, it's gorgeous.
But
I mean, you can drive by and see it. Yes,
the lights,
it is so pretty.
They went all out this year on the outside lights,
and
they
got a
wonderful
Barbie tree and a Taylor Swift tree.
Amy
and I mean,
and
they have all
past
kinds
members
of
the Historical Society, and we've done our part and been out there for the tours for many years. So,
and shout out to everyone who does that because it is a lot of hard work, you know, for Darla and Sam and all the people that volunteer, and it is a lot of work. So, you know, I know they put, and it's beautiful. You can see their hard work and all the beautiful lights. So if you have not got your tickets, make sure you do. And then Tuskahoma, Oklahoma. That's the Choctaw capital.
Yeehaw.
I did not mean to make that sound like an accent.
I kind of did, but I'm home. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, Tuskahoma, Oklahoma, they're holding their own Christmas in the Park from now until December 31st. It is a free drive-through light show. So you can go up to the Capitol building and they have beautiful grounds there and you can drive around and drive through and see all the lights. On certain days they have hot chocolate, but I don't know, so I'm not going to get to. So, you know, it's like going to see Christmas lights and you get to drive through, but it is very beautiful, and I encourage everyone who is down that way or heading down that way to go see the lights. So this is technically in their listening area,
yeah.
So I'm really hoping to broaden our getting listened to down there. I know we can be heard in Eufaula and Canadian Oklahoma, and that's Choctaw Nation too. So
there you go.
Yeah, so hopefully you guys will start tuning in. They'll start buy, selling, and trading stuff with Shay here.
Well, I think Cherokee Nation's going to do their part. They're airing this stuff too, and because you can hear it all the way.
Yes, you can hear it.
Yeah. I didn't put this down, but I just realized I thought I saw it. December 23rd to go to Candy Cane Lane here in Coffeeville.
Yes.
And Santa would be there. Is that the night?
I think so.
And
I think so.
It's like the last night. But we drive through. I love just driving around Coffeeville and looking at lights. My husband and I, we kind of, have you driven by our house?
I have not driven by your house.
Go by.
I'm trying to stalk my friends.
West Fifth Street across from the horrible looking West Coffeeville School. The gym looks bad, but it's very nice over the neighborhood. And we bought an empty lot next to us, and we just kind of went a little nuts with some lights.
Well, I'm going to drive over that way and look at them.
But so this month we did decide to do a giveaway, and I'm going to hold up for the camera here. We have a book. It's called Native American Stories for Kids, and thought that whoever would comment on the post at Facebook Journey with a snowman emoji, we would put you in the drawing. And I listed it all, and I did a random number generator. And we all do our little drum roll. We go,
you got to do it too.
Jordan Julian. Now, I started thinking, Jordan Julian. Well, it was formerly Jordan Newton. She's from here in Coffeeville. Had her as a student at the high school. That's her married name. Her parents are Grant Anita Newton. Grant works at the elementary school.
Oh, okay. I'm excited to get a copy of that book.
Anyway,
that looks really good.
You will be getting this, too. I'll get in touch with your parents. But,
and
there's more. I went ahead and bought another book, and it's called Fry Bread. This was not on the Facebook page. Fry Bread, Past, Present, and Future, and I just showed it to Amy, and it has like
it is very cool.
200 recipes for different types of fry bread, and gives a little history, but it had the conversion amounts. It talks about if you're diabetic and you're on keto, and low, you know, fry bread's not the healthiest thing in the world for a lot of us, well, for any of us, but we went ahead, and I thought this was just a fantastic book, and we drew for them. and it was John Weston, who I happen to know. He is with the Washington County Cherokee Association, and this, I think this works out good because he hasn't come up and visited us at Native American Fellowship for a while, so I'm not mailing it to you, John. You will have to come see us to get it. That's just how it's going to work. So we have two recipes for fry bread, and one of them, well, fry bread bannock.
Yeah.
And Amy's going to talk about that. I see.
So there's a little bit of origin here on bannock. It was originally an Inuit recipe, and you could make it traditionally, you'd mix up the flour and the lard, and you'd stick it on the end of the stick. And it would be the consistency, it would stay on the stick, and they could cook it over an open fire. During the gold rush, that became real popular because they could mix it up. The gold searchers could mix it up in the flour sack.
Wrap the dough around
it. Just kind of stick it on there. And I'm dying to try it over the open fire.
Yeah.
I think on Christmas Day at my dad's, I'm going to try that. But it became, the gold rush, gold hunters would use it. And then today, even wilderness people will mix up bannock, and they'll have it in Ziploc bags because they can just take it and use it as wilderness.
Well, wouldn't that be healthier to cook it over the fire too? If you aren't frying it.
Yes.
You're just wrapping the dough around the stick. Hey,
I'm trying to
be healthy.
That's the traditional way to cook it. well, actually, you're healthy. You brought in the air fry, the fry bread air fry recipe. That's extra healthy.
Yeah.
And then I got some avocado oil over here from Natural Food Center to cook it in, and that I feel like that makes it extra healthy,
All right.
Good stuff, right? Actually, I got the advice from
Marty. It's a pretty
avocado oil, but it's 2 cups of all-purpose flour, 1.5 heaping tablespoons of baking powder, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/2 teaspoon white sugar, 1 cup of sugar, 1/2 cup of soda water, and 3 tablespoons of melting oil or lard.
I prefer
lard.
It's a cup of water.
Oh, cup of water. Sorry.
Sorry. And it's 1.5 teaspoons of the salt. We'll put it on there so you guys see it.
I can't read very good sometimes. So anyway, you just mix it up and you divide it into pieces and flatten it out and fry it in the oil.
Or
go traditional and cook it on a.
I guess you could roll it out and then just make a like a.
The way I pictured it when they talk about like the gold, the gold rush people pulling it out of the sack, I just picture mixing up this ball
just
of sticky and just like hooking it on there.
Sticking a blob of dough.
And getting it on there good and then cooking it. But that's kind of what I picture.
With the fry bread recipe, we're going to have to, the other one is Osage, and we're getting back on time, and I know he needs to do, but I want to give really quickly here our sponsors. I found this on the internet. The National Credit Union motto is not for profit, not for charity, but for service. So member-owned cooperatives like the Cooperative Credit Union here in Coffeyville focus on service and value as top priorities for its members. And did you know you can set up a Christmas Club account at CCU? You get a head start on helping with your 2024 Christmas shopping by setting up an account today. And stop by and see Lyle and his crew at 313 West 9th here in Coffeyville to learn more.
I do want to learn more because I don't know a lot about a Christmas club. It sounds like something Air Lee would be interested in.
It's always fun to go in there. So another sponsor is Smilin' Charlie Crane. He doesn't have a business to promote, but he sponsors us because he enjoys giving back to the community and he loves his wife. That would be me. Ha ha. But it was through him that we first decided to actually do this show.
Yes, he was
our first sponsor, and we thank you, Charlie, for your continued support of Fry Bread Journeys.
Yes, big thank you.
And our newest sponsor
is
Cherokee Nation. Principal Chief Chuck Hoskin has recorded a message for the KGGF Lepsters, and you guys have been playing it off and on. There is also a video of it that we have on our, I think it's on Native American Fellowship, Fry Bread Journeys page. And we thank you, Wado Chief. We hope that all citizens living in the listening area and KGGF covers all the way to Salisaw will begin tuning into us starting the fourth Monday of each month at 9:10 a.m. here on AM 690 KGGF. And we want to just keep giving you interesting news regarding it. We hope you enjoy what we do.
We hope you do, yes.
But we thank and appreciate the support of Cherokee Nation. And I think finally, we just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas here, a safe holiday season. To your family, thank you. James, we missed you today, but Shay, you rocked it. And thank you, Chris.
You did a good
John,
job.
Everyone here at KGGF, we appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much for being here. We got a look at Fox News and local news on the way. It's the Mighty 690 KGGF.